Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This is a special edition of The Vault by Access Hollywood.
Today is a very special episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. I'm Zuri Hall.
I'm Scott Evans.
And today we are dedicating our episode to the late Chadwick Boseman. Scott, I mean, this is going to be a hard conversation to have. I feel like we're all still just reeling from this new reality, and it was heartbreaking and it was unexpected for us, for the public, right? And honoring this man, this amazing man, is something that we absolutely must do. It's our honor to do. So I'm excited to talk about him, but God, it's just so bittersweet to talk about this amazing legacy he's left behind.
Zuri, don't you feel like 2020? I'm done with the take that it feels like, you know, and I hate for that to sound angry or resentful or bitter, but reading the headline that Chadwick Boseman had passed at 43 from colon cancer, not even having the slightest clue, really. I mean, I think anyone who was astute and paying attention knew something maybe going on, you know, fairly recently, but would have never had the idea that it was something so grave that would ultimately take him from us at 43. Yeah, I mean, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. But it is also, like you said, a necessary one.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, obviously now we all know and understand Chadwick was battling colon cancer privately for the last 4 years. And we've come to know Chadwick on the red carpet, those special moments that now are so cherished, you know, those interactions with him behind the scenes, that warm smile. I mean, good God, he could light up a room. I can't help but smile, as bittersweet as it is. I think about my interactions with that man, as brief as they were, you know, and he gave such an energy and such a spirit that'll stay with me for the rest of my life. I'm just grateful that I had them. And I'm sure you've had many too, Scott.
Well, it's interesting because I just got goosebumps. It's interesting because you talk about how he could light up a room. I also saw him shut down rooms.
Did you?
Right? Where people were losing their minds, blah, 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 blah. And then he'd walk in and it was just like.
Such a calm, right? He had such a presence, quiet presence.
Yes. And so to have both of those things.
Yeah. We're going to dig into it. Remarkable. I want the story. I got to get that from you today because I want us to sort of revel in these amazing opportunities we had to just even exist in his space. He's given us such incredible performances. Obviously, King T'Challa, Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, the list goes on and on. So many more, because he gave so much of his art. His time on this earth was so gracious. Why do you think it is, Scott, that Chadwick's death hit so many so hard? Because I'll be honest, when I found out the news, it was a Friday night. Yep. It was date night, to be quite frank. And I honestly was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do anything except sit with this for a while. Mm-hmm. I cried out my tears. I reflected on just the man and who he was. And not just to us personally, but to an entire community, to the Black population, to all of these little Black boys and girls who had their superhero. And I'm going to start tearing up. Yeah, so you got to take it, because I get emotional when I think about it.
I'm going to tell you this. First, I see you. I appreciate you. I think you and I have a connection sometimes where a lot can go unsaid because we know what we know.
Right.
But sometimes you do need to say it. And this was a reminder of, don't let a day pass. Don't let a time pass where someone you care about
doesn't know that or doesn't hear it. Maybe they know it, but it still feels good to hear. And I appreciate that. And you know, the same goes right back to you. And I think that's been one of the biggest lessons of this time since processing this major loss is, you know, it's teaching us in a very bittersweet way to appreciate who we have while we have them and be grateful for the gifts that they've shared.
But think about also, you know, you were asking like why this maybe hurt the way that it hurt. You know, we have been this year primed for, I've said it before, I feel like I am walking around kind of emotionally frayed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's this global pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. The COVID-19. Then there is this racial reckoning, this cracking open, breaking open in our country of long, I think, standing racial tension. Yeah. And then there is the what feels like an emotional depletion. Like I've just reached my limit. And then right when you feel like if we can get to November,
right,
Chadwick is gone. Yeah. And the time where you feel like you need him most and the time where you feel like his presence is most valuable or maybe needed more than ever, he's gone.
Yeah.
It pulled you all the way out of whatever you were doing.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. And you reflect on what Chadwick has meant and will continue to mean, maybe even mean more to our community now that we have to deal with and reel from the loss of him. And he was so definitively that guy. I mean, you see the tributes rolling on Instagram and the fact that he was our king, our superhero, like that Black Panther. And the fact that he was everyone's superhero, right? This transcends race. Black Panther wasn't just for Black people. There was an entire global phenomenon that swept us all away in excitement and awe when Chadwick presented this character, this king to us. And it's something that we all bonded over. And it was in that moment, honestly, when Black Panther came out, the beauty that I saw was the fact that Black culture, Black art, Black beauty, Black design, Black dialect, African dialects specifically, all texture. Of these things, yes, that texture.
It became this, I didn't know this existed. Oh, I didn't know this was beautiful. Oh, I didn't know, right? And I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I want to share in that.
And what it did, again, going back to just the youth, right? The kids, the fact that, like, growing up as a little Black girl in Ohio, I knew what my hair did naturally, but I didn't see it being done on anyone else that I idolized, that I watched on screen or saw in magazines. And the fact that there was this new generation of kids who would only ever grow up seeing their curls, their kinks, their coils. I think she showed. Did she have a shaved head? Bald. Completely shaved. Bald. On the carpet. Bald. Killing it. Slaying.
Ripped a wig off, as a matter
Listen,
of fact.
You hear me? You hear me? The freedom, what it means to rip off a wig, that's a whole different podcast episode. But the
That'll be episode 237.
Listen, bonus. But the fact that Chadwick led that charge, the fact that he was the king of that nation and that nation we all fell in love with, he was amazing, and I'm excited to listen to a few of our interviews with him over the years and everything that he shared.
You know, this is the great part about The Vault is we get to dive back. We get to go back in the day and resurface some of these conversations, some of these interactions with people that become a little more poignant, perhaps, in in a new context, right? And so, you know, We're talking a lot about Black Panther right now, but he had a breakout role in 42 playing the baseball legend and pioneer Jackie Robinson. Now, the film was released, I believe, in 2013. And so at a junket for the film, he actually he told us he was celebrating the role before he even got the call. He was believing it to
You
be
better
true.
Manifest.
Take a listen.
This is like playing, you know, Abraham Lincoln, a president, Muhammad Ali. It's a no-brainer that you would want to do it. The audition process, it wasn't a long process necessarily. I actually met Brian Helgeland, and he says that he knew right away I just heard him say that in person for the first time.
Today you just heard him say that?
Yeah, I heard other people say, yeah, today. But I didn't necessarily know. I left that first meeting. I was directing a play in New York, and I didn't really think about it, you know.
You didn't?
No, I mean, I thought it was a great audition, but you have a lot of great auditions and you don't get it.
Yeah.
But I was actually watching the World Series. The Cardinals were celebrating in the ninth after the ninth inning, and as I was looking at the screen, I said, "I'm gonna get this role."
Whoa!
You know,
did you?
This is before I got the role. I said, "I'm gonna."
You had that premonition.
This premonition, yeah. So I nudged my friend, and he said, "We should toast it."
Before we got the role.
That's
confidence.
Yeah, so we toasted it.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the next week, I came in, I read for Brian Helgeland again, did a baseball tryout, and the rest is history.
Okay, Chadwick, you better toast to a role you didn't even officially get yet. You gotta love the confidence, because he was so humble. Him saying that, there was not even a hint of arrogance. There is a quiet assuredness to the things that he would speak and the way that he would say things that you can't be mad at it. Yeah,
a stillness. Danai Gurira calls it his zen. Danai, of course, played his general in Black Panther, also famous for her role in The Walking Dead. But it was, for me, that clip is, for me, a continuation of the dude he was when he voiced his concerns for the role he was playing on the soap opera All My Children, right? When he brought up his concerns that he was, this character he was playing was always, seemed to be like wrapped up in criminality, right? So drug use or
all the stereotypical robbing someone, cliches of being a black man.
Yeah. And so when he brought it up to the producers and the writers, they heard him. He says, I believe I've read that Chadwick said they considered some of his observations and would ultimately replace him. They let him finish the day. And then ultimately replaced him with Michael B. Jordan, who at the time was 16, I think.
Wow.
And so when you read Michael B. Jordan's Instagram post, when you read his thoughts about the passing of Chadwick, he said something, Missouri, that I had to walk away from the phone.
Wait,
he said two things.
Us.
He broke down a couple of paragraphs, and between each paragraph, he said, "I wish we had more time." You know, I wish we'd had more time. And he said, "I realize even back when I was 16, you've been paving the way for me, whether I knew it or not." You know,
clear
that you would clear a path, that you would voice concerns in such a way that the writers, the show, would have to respond. And so that when I came in, I just came into something that felt better, not knowing that you had an instrumental hand in creating it better, right? And leaving it better for me. And so that's the thing that you kind of, I think that's why you wouldn't even get mad that he says, "Yeah, I celebrated this role before
I
trusted that this was going to be the next thing for me." And when he said that, the movie's writer and producers really had him in mind. You know, there are other people that will tell you when James Brown, we had Chadwick in mind, Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah.
We had, like, he was, there was really nobody
else. That guy.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite red carpet interaction or memory between you and Chadwick, whether it was when the cameras were rolling, before they were? You talked about the fact that he has, or God, it's still, honestly, to be just frank, it's hard to talk in past tense. The fact that Chadwick had such a presence, and I completely agree with it, but I'm excited to know what your experience had been with him when it came to those interactions.
I remember doing an interview with him. I'll tell you two very quickly. One was a screening or maybe a release for Black Panther. And when I was in the room, people were losing their minds. Everybody was so excited, blah, 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 blah. And you know, normally when a celebrity or a star of the movie walks in, it gets the level raises even higher, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, la! Right. He walked into the room and the room was already kind of wild. And people were like, shh.
Just like a respectful silence, sort of.
And then he kind of held his hands together and was like, thank you all for joining. And I was like, this is wild. And then there was another instance where we were on a red carpet. And this would have been, I think, around Avengers time. And I was doing an interview with him and people were, you know, Black Panther, Black Panther, Black Panther to him during the interview. And he met eyes with all of them, had a quick second, and then came back to the interview. And we finished the interview. I said, are you prepared for the rest of your life to be linked to Wakanda, to be linked to the leader of these people and to be revered as a hero? And he said, man, I'll be honest with you. The hero part is a little strange for me, but the light that this role has brought into my life and to other people's lives, how could you be mad at that? How could that ever get old to you?
Yeah.
And and then he walked away and I was just like,
and you were just left stunned to process the gems that were dropped.
With Chadwick Boseman?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I asked myself the same thing. So I think it's just all of us. It was just Chadwick's effect on all of us. I remember the first time that I interacted with him was the Black Panther world premiere, the premiere in Los Angeles. And you know, I get amped up on these carpets and I'm feeding off the energy sometimes to the point that I need somebody to calm me down because I'm just running around the circle looking like a chihuahua, just chasing her tail, just can't settle down, can't focus. And so the interviews were rolling, they were great. And I'm talking to Lupita and Denai, and it's great, but the energy was high to your point earlier. And Chadwick is coming up and I'm like, I'm getting nervous, right? Because the first time that you're going to engage with someone who you admire, you respect, and come on, just straight up, star of the film, you get a little nervous. You want to get it right.
He
stepped up on that platform. And there was such a calm about his energy. And it felt like, I am here with you right now. And I see you. You said you saw me earlier. I think Chadwick had such a gift for making everyone he interacted with feels so seen. And because he had that ability to slow it down and calm you down. When I tell you, first of all, I did my thing in the interview and it had nothing to do with me. It was the fact that he cleared this space allowed me to come down to where I needed to be, meet him where he was, and do my job effectively instead of getting so caught up in that hype. And so I remember that energetic exchange. And the second time that I interviewed him was not long after the first. It was it Fashion Week, something like that. But he was still promoting Black Panther, and we had a little more time on the microphone. You know, these red carpets go so quickly. You're lucky.
Don't know is that y'all see like 40 seconds, 45 seconds. We maybe get 2 minutes.
Right, if that.
So if that. Yeah.
So he was on the carpet. We started talking. And you know, sometimes the reps or some people are pulling you everywhere, here and there, tapping you on the shoulder. And as the reporters, we see it. And we want to, oh God, just two more seconds. But he again gave me the gift of his presence, allowed me to do what I needed to do, to have the conversation, to ask the questions. And that pressure that I think we feel often to get in and get out and just get it done because he doesn't even want to be here. She doesn't want to be here.
Right. No. Isn't that the crazy part?
Yes. He made me feel like, and I appreciate it. And it was such a professional courtesy. Like, he could sit there and talk with me all day knowing damn well he had 30 more seconds before he had to get into that theater. And I always remembered that after he walked away from me, I was like, am I in love? This man is amazing. He is such a spirit. Yes. And like, how could we not be? I think we all were. We were all in love, not just with the idea of this man, but who he showed up as, who he actually gave us.
So when Black Panther came out, I bought tickets to the movie at the Grove. I bought two rows of tickets. And then I stood out in front of the Grove and gave them to people who I didn't think would necessarily buy tickets to the movie. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, also people who I didn't think maybe who couldn't either afford it or maybe wouldn't typically go pay money to see this movie, because I just mm-hmm. wanted, I knew what this was going to mean. Mm-hmm. And so to see the excitement of the people's faces when they got the tickets and then when they came out of the theater, people who were not typically Marvel fans, people who were not typically like superhero movie, action movie kind of people were like, that was so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was, and that's, I think, to the collective effort of everyone involved.
Right.
And it's just led to spearhead by Chadwick and Ryan Coogler.
Oh no, absolutely.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, King T'Challa, that was just one of the gifts that Chadwick gave us. Like we mentioned, he starred as Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. He went on to play James Brown and Thurgood Marshall. And we actually chatted with him in 2017 when they were promoting one of those films. And he shared that he needed convincing, actually, for both of those roles. And these are the moments that I love because we really get to see him show off his personality. Listen to this.
Do you consciously say to yourself, I want to play these kind of people?
No, I actually consciously say the opposite. And, you know, the only one that I was completely sure about was Jackie Robinson. I think this took some convincing, and James Brown took some convincing.
Well, you made good choices.
Yeah, so it's the opposite. I think I probably have turned down more biopics than, you know, I wouldn't even try to name how many it is.
Is there anybody you wouldn't do? Like, do you feel like there's been too many Martin Luther Kings?
I wouldn't do Harriet Tubman.
That's good.
Okay, so in this clip, he tells a really funny story that shows just what a great guy Chadwick really was, honestly. He goes up to this guy at a concert to tell him that his pants were sagging a little too low and they were distracting everyone. Listen.
This actually happened in Buffalo. We were sitting outside. It was like an outside musical performance. And the person in front of us had their pants so low that they were like mooning everybody behind them. So we're all trying to enjoy the performance. And at a certain point, everybody's just like, oh, every time he moves to the left, moves to the right, we're like, oh, can we please stop staring at the cracking? Like, so I walk over to him and I say, son, you enjoying the show? He said, yeah, I'm enjoying the show. I said, well, we trying to enjoy the show too. We can't do it because we keep staring at the crack of your ass. And so, only James Brown can say. And so he pulls his pants up.
That's it.
Yeah.
I love it. That is hilarious. The fact that he showed up in character for that moment to tell you to cover your ass crack.
Listen, the reality is you need to cover it up.
You got to cover it up. You got to cover it up.
What I love is what I really enjoy about these clips in particular is, you know, we talk about the quiet stillness. We talk about the kindness. But there's also this very humorous side to this guy, right? There was this this lightness, and to know that he had that even while dealing with a stage 3 and advancing colon cancer, surgeries and chemotherapy, is a remarkable thing.
Yeah.
To have that kind of joy, that kind of quiet strength.
Mm-hmm.
In the face of all of that, it's a pretty amazing thing. I try not to say amazing often.
Right. But when you amazing. Do, I was going to say, if that's a word that can absolutely be applied to anything mm-hmm. that Chadwick did or had his hand in. I also love that he graduated from Howard University, just like Thurgood Marshall. Okay. And the fact that Denzel, little known fact, I think now everyone's starting to hear about this awesome story. Denzel actually covered some of Chadwick's tuition and fees for the art of acting, right?
Oh, yeah. So you know the story, right?
Tell us the story, Scott.
He was at... Tell us the story.
Tell us the story.
Story time with Scott Evans this week. Okay, so he was at Howard University mm-hmm. and taking class. Felicia Rashad was teaching acting at Howard University. She saw this talent, saw this really great actor, this budding, blossoming a performer, mm-hmm. and he and a few other students had applied and gotten into the Oxford acting like summer program. It was like I think it was called the British American Drama.
Wait, British American Drama Academy. That I just trust that they're gifted. Right. When you can't even remember the whole name of the academy, that many adjectives and yes. locations. So they were
They were really doing it. So they got into this program at Oxford, the British American Drama Academy, and okay. shared with Felicia Rashad, their professor, their instructor. We got in. She was like, "Oh my God, that's great!" And they were like, "Yeah, but we're not going to go." And she was like, "Wait, why aren't you going to go? Because we can't afford it." And she said, "No. You need to go ahead and pack your bags." Because you will be going. You will be going on this trip. You will be having this experience. And she told me, she said, I wasn't going to allow a little bit of money to separate these young performers from an experience that would potentially change them, that would crack them open. Susan Kelechi Watson was also one of those students who's a part of Chadwick's Oxford class. Really? And so Felicia called Denzel and said, hey, we gonna need some money.
And he was Denzel like, was like, say less.
Yeah, exactly.
I got
and
you.
She said within 5 minutes, he said, this is how many I can send.
Wow.
And so he never knew that
he was didn't sending. Even realize that Chadwick no. Boseman was one of those students.
No, no. And so it wasn't until the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award for Denzel Washington that Chadwick would get an opportunity to publicly thank Denzel from the stage. Yeah. He said something to the effect of, you know, that it is, the saying goes, sometimes you have to water the ones who have watered on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Denzel was just sitting there. You know that look you try to give where you're like, don't cry. Just look at the man.
He was trying to thug it out, but
he was trying to
see that tear in the corner.
Don't shed a tear.
Wow.
He reversed Sterling K. Brown. You know, Sterling K. Brown will drop that one single
tear. Sterling loves a singular tear on the cheek.
So it was a really beautiful thing to also see this full circle moment play out for all of us to see these titans that we know, as we know now, supporting young, budding performers and allowing them to become titans in their own right. It's crazy. Right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Absolutely. And wild to think that like how far Chadwick's come, the fact that Denzel didn't even know that one of the students that he sponsored was going to affect the world in the massive way that he did, which goes right into that concept of paying it forward. Just do it because it's the good thing to do. You never know what will manifest, what will come of your kindness or your generosity. So I really love that story. You know, we gotta play something from the Black Panther era. I feel like we've dug into the archives. Yeah. Let me get a little Black Panther clip. Let me get a little clip.
Okay, so let's say then about 2017.
Okay, hit me.
Keep in mind though that we know from the family's statement confirming his passing, we know at about 2016 is when he was diagnosed with stage three colon cancer. So this is 2017. It was a big year for Chadwick, ramping up, of course, for the release of Black Panther. Nobody, I mean, when I tell you I bought tickets for me to go see it. Mm-hmm. Like 4 months in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get to see it for free.
Right.
But I wasn't playing.
But I gotta buy the tickets.
I was not playing. Mm. You know what I mean? It was like to be able to see this Black superhero, this African superhero, bringing to life African dialects and, like you said, textures and colors and the culture. It was like, I want everybody in my family to be able to experience this, to think that at the same time, we're so hype.
Yeah.
He's fighting for his life. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Wow.
It's,
it's a lot.
What do you say we lighten it up with with Chadwick's commentary on watching the trailer for Black Panther at the 2017 D23 Expo, where he explained what it was feeling like becoming a global superstar. Take a listen.
I love it. Let's do it.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you know, everybody's pretended to be some kind of like professional athlete, and you hit the last shot and the crowd it's like that's pretty much what it feels like,
but it's real.
So but it's real. So you know, you can, how can you get used to that? Like how can you get enough of it, you know? So yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, how stoked were you when you see that trailer come out, and just how jazzed did that get you?
Oh man, you know, I watched it the first time. You know, obviously I had seen it before everybody else saw it.
Right.
So there was the experience of watching it before everybody else saw it and being like, hold up, like what? Like, it's like, no. Well, yeah, there's that. But then it's also like, let's watch it again. Let's watch it again. Let's watch it one more time. Uh-huh. Let's watch it again. Okay, now we got to go shoot. But there's that. And then... you know, then there's, you know, watching it when everybody else is watching it. And it's something about, you know, we live in a world now where information travels so fast and you realize other people are watching it at the same time and they're responding to it. And people are you know, doing their own little iterations of it on YouTube and whatnot. It's kind of crazy.
Think about this. 4 years he'd been fighting with colon cancer. If you know, stage three is when he was diagnosed. That is not a good diagnosis. Mm-hmm. That is extremely grim. So you have an idea that you are living on borrowed time. And the fact that he shared so much of that time with the world, with us, the stories that we've shared, that happened while that man was fighting, battling colon cancer. Mm-hmm. He was giving that to us.
And every single one of these stories we've told.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is, I will say, you know, I was reading a post, was reading, going through some of, I mean, on the weekend that he passed, you could scroll your Instagram and it was like all
tributes,
all thoughts, all prayers, all photos of him. You know, I think the announcement from his family on his official Twitter page was the most liked tweet
on Twitter history at that point,
like since the platform has existed. And so, you know, of course, I think it's very clear what his legacy will be. And and I think that is one of the only, or not only, but that is one of the biggest silver linings in this loss, is that he packed 7 years from 42, right? From the release of 42 and as he played Jackie Robinson to his passing, he gave us role after role after role. And so, you know, he would win awards. I think he got a NAACP Image Award in 2019 for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for Black Panther. Black Panther was nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture. It would go on to win 3 Oscars that night. You know, it changed the industry.
Yeah. Yeah,
topping
it
over
showed
a
what
billion
we were
dollars.
Capable of for so long. The lie that Black is not bankable was told in Hollywood. Oh, well, Black people will go watch that film, or Black people will go buy that song. But mainstream culture transcending or breaking out of whatever that quote unquote box is that, you know, old school Hollywood wanted to put us in, that's something that people wanted to believe for a long time. And this movie, along with many other others, right? We have been proving what we bring to the table when in some cases it's being stolen and appropriated and just taken from us and repurposed and proven that it can sell. But Black Panther was a really great example of there are no excuses. You can have an all Black cast. You can have the Bantu knots on the purple carpet. Matter of fact, I think it was a lot of purple that night. I can't remember if it was red, but I know there was a lot of purple in the building. On the carpet, you can have these traditional African garbs and dressings and fabrics, and it be celebrated not just by the people who are a part of that community. Anyone with eyes, you know, can see the beauty of the visual representation of who we are and the diversity with which we offer culture and art. And I love that Black Panther was at the forefront of that. There were so many celebrities who tweeted, who Facebook, who shared Instagram posts. Mm-hmm. You know, immediately after Chadwick's passing. And as bittersweet as it was beautiful. I love that Josh Gad actually broke his Twitter silence, got back on the platform. Just, he said to, quote, share some beauty. And good God, if this isn't beauty, I don't know what is. It's one of his final texts, he said, from Chadwick, which really just drive home the point that Chadwick knew. He understood what life is supposed to be about, how precious every moment was. This was a text that Chadwick sent Josh, and he entitled it, Catch the Rain. Catch the Rain. If you are in Los Angeles, you woke up this morning to the rare and peaceful sound of a steady precipitation. If you're like me, maybe you looked at the week's forecast and found that it's supposed to rain for 3 straight days. Not without breaks of sunlight and reprieves of moist gloom, but yeah, it's gonna be coming down like cats and dogs. Great. We're stuck inside these damn quarantines because of the COVID, and now we can't even get no sun in Cali. Come on now. But now that the rain has stopped and today's storm has cleared, I urge you to go outside and take a deep breath. Notice how fresh the air is right now, after our skies have had a 3-week break from the usual relentless barrage of fumes from bumper to bumper LA commuters. And now today's rain has given the City of Angels a long overdue and much needed shower. Inhale and exhale this moment, and thank God for the unique beauties and wonders of this day. We should take advantage of every moment we can to enjoy the simplicity of God's creation. Whether it be clear skies and sun or clouded over with gloom. And hey, if the air is this clear right now and it does rain tomorrow, I might even put jars and bins out and catch the rain. Throw that in the water filter, and I have a water more alkaline than any bottled brand out there. If that don't sum up Chadwick Boseman and his perspective and the energy he showed up with in every encounter we've had, I don't know what does.
I don't know.
And if that's not a life lesson for all of us, wow.
There will always be Wakanda.
Mm-hmm. Wakanda forever. Right? Come on.
Forever. Mm. So with that, I think we say rest in power, King.
Yes.
Rest in power. You can join us when we make another trip to the Access Hollywood Vault. You never know what the next throwback might be. Remember, subscribe for more, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you, everybody. I'm Scott Evans.
I'm Zuri Hall.
See you next time.
Bye.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we crank open the vault for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.